you decided, like, before the time came where you were supposed to do my hair, to just be like, you know what? You look really handsome today. Let me finish. You said you look really handsome today. Has anybody ever told you that your afro looks godlike? Like, I was reading the Bible, and you know the story of Samson? You were like, you remind me of how strong he was, because he let his hair just flow.
Mikey.
And nobody had to braid his hair at all. You know what? I don't think that I need to braid your hair, because you should just have it just like that for the podcast, for the recording.
Hey, y'all.
Hey, I'm Mikey.
And I'm Randy.
And this is the Black Women in Marriage podcast, where we give you an uncensored look into all we're learning, unlearning, and loving about marriage in real time.
We're thankful you tuned in.
Yes, to all the people listening and watching, because we're still on YouTube.
Yes, we are.
We made the first video work, so.
We did.
We decided to keep this going.
We are going to keep it going. Yes, we are. So continuing with our season's theme of taking our shit back, in this episode, we'll be talking about putting Drew back in daycare.
Yes, and the way that that has helped our lives.
Yes.
And the struggle that it was, and just why it's important that she's back.
Yeah. So in our first segment, we're going to discuss putting Drew back in daycare. Mm-hmm. Second is our fight or flight, where today
I am confronting Randy about the small ways that she shows me disrespect.
Finally, we'll wrap it up with our PDA segment, where we show each other some love and or thank each other for something.
Something. Absolutely.
So. And we hope you enjoy. All right, main topic is Drew is back in school, y'all.
Drew is back in school.
Yes, so this episode is especially for all our parents, all of our guardians.
And anybody who's concerned with, like, COVID and children. And the effect that's having on the kids and yourselves.
Yeah.
I've been speaking to a lot of teachers that I still work with. One who recently, you know, she had a son shortly after we had Drew, actually. He's about to be one and a half.
Oh, okay.
And so she's been home with him for a year.
So she had him.
And
it's hard.
It's like, it's really hard. I can't wait to, like, we're going to dive into that. Where were we?
So the backstory is, So Drew was out of daycare for a year due to COVID-19. So The school literally, like, went on sabbatical a week after her first birthday. And so we believe this was the best thing we could do for our family by keeping her home, even when they did open up, not only because no one knew what was going on with COVID, but because we also were in a position where we could have her at home. We were both working from home, and we both still are. And it just worked for us. And so we kept her here. And so this was a blessing, and it was great, and it was hard, and it was wonderful. Still, as time went on, we realized it was time to put her back in
school. Cut the cord, if you will.
And shortly after her second birthday, we took the leap. So her birthday was March 2nd, and she is now, similar to last year, a week after her birthday,
starting daycare,
back in school. Yeah. So, yeah, babe. Yeah.
So we're going to start with some of the pros and cons of having her home.
Yeah.
And because it's my lead and I love my wife, I'm going to let her go first.
So we're going to start with the bad news first, or like the cons, the challenges. Cons. So what was really hard about having Drew home was, you know, Drew started to walk at 10 months. She started to realize she could jump, run.
Do things.
Right. And she wants all of our attention like babies do, like toddlers do. Mm-hmm. But we have to work. And it was really challenging to see this need that she had for us to engage and to play with her and to have time, you know, spend time with her, but to have to work. So that was really hard.
And she was confused, like, why can't she have access to us if even we're always we're in
right
her vicinity?
Here. Right. Mm. That was really difficult for me because I was feeling like a bad mom. Lots of guilt, right? Because I don't want her to, like, on the one hand, kids need to practice, like, being bored and use your imagination and all these things. So, but also, she just seemed very lonely sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And because of COVID, we became not just her parents, but her best friends,
her only siblings.
We stay with his mom, as y'all know. We rent from her, but she's a nurse. And when COVID had first started, we all kept our distance because she was on the front line and still is. And it was way more erratic, no vaccines. we didn't know what was going on. And what?
You put off the word. You did. Randy doesn't like saying the word vaccine.
Mikey, what?
You said that. You say you don't like saying that. Like, you have a hard time saying vaccine.
No, I have a hard time saying subscribe.
Oh, subscribe. Gotcha.
See how you play me? No, I don't know how to talk.
I know you know how to talk.
So, yeah, that was a con for me. How about you?
The one of the main cons that come to mind thinking about having her home is just I couldn't get anything done.
Yeah, it was hard.
It was impossible. I don't like to use that word, but it was damn near impossible to get any sort of like progress on stuff that I'm working on. Mm-hmm. Like the work that I do actually requires like brain power, and like every once in a while, like I have my own distractions. Like I have music playing or I have like a show on in the background while I'm working, but like there are times where I just need absolute silence when I'm like working on something, and that was impossible. Mm-hmm. Or I can't even like hear the show that's blocking some stuff out because she's like screaming in the background or whatever, or like there's a song playing and she like requires us to join her in the song. Because, you know, she needs somebody to play with. Mm-hmm. And, like we, like, have to.
Yeah.
Right? Because there's no... Because what do you do?
I just felt so bad.
Yeah.
Like, it's not her fault.
Yeah, I mean, just the normal comment. She required attention. She, like, needed it. And she should have had it. But, like, it was just really hard to get work done. But it is also required that I get work done. Like,
yeah.
So that was really difficult.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, in terms of pro...
Yes. I think we probably have the same pro.
I also loved having her home.
Yeah.
Because when we first had Drew, as y'all know, if y'all like caught up and watched the old or heard the old episodes, you know, when I had Drew, Mikey was doing the tech program. He was driving Lyft. I was laid off from my job, let go from my job. So I was home, mm-hmm. and I just had this baby and I didn't know what to do. And I had help, but anybody who's a parent knows that like help is relative. And, I was just by myself a lot with her, mm-hmm. and I remember just wanting us as a family being able to like go to bed together, wake up together, be together.
That you
know,
wish for,
I know you also had a lot of guilt about that too.
Yes.
And it was just really hard. I was like, I just really want us to have some time together, and I got that. Okay, I got a whole year of what I had daydreamed about, yeah. and fantasized about, especially when it was really, really hard, and I was lonely, and I was scared, and I didn't know what was going on with her, and I had to figure it out by myself because you had to work or you were in class, or so it was really nice to be able to tag team together, and to be able to have the help that I daydreamed about when she was very new, you mm-hmm. know, on up to she was like 7 months. And so, that was beautiful. Like it was exactly what I prayed for. I did not pray for a pandemic, but this is why we must be specific.
You gotta be specific
with what you pray for. What do you ask for? So, but you literally stopped driving Lyft right when the pandemic hit, and you did not have to drive and you will not have to drive ever again. You know, and knock on wood. And it was wonderful. Like we got to watch Drew literally change from a 1-year-old to a 2-year-old. She, yeah. like it just, I was watching stuff happen in real time that
otherwise we wouldn't have seen it happen in such a way like if she was still in daycare or if we were at work like normal. So that was nice.
Like a lot of her milestones, we actually like saw live and in color happen. Like she woke up one day not talking, next day it's sentences,
Full blown.
Woke up one day not running, next day she ran down the street. Like it was beautiful to be privy to all of that. Because I know a lot of people don't get that. But yeah, that's my pro.
No, we have the same pro.
Okay.
It was like I was gifted like makeup time.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, I felt guilty. Like, yeah, we've had conversations about why it's okay that I, you know, the things that I had to do. What you had to do. Like, we had to. Those were our roles mm-hmm. at the time. And so now I was given, like, I feel like I was just given a chance to, like, do more.
Yeah.
And really feel what that felt like.
Like what?
Like, I don't know, like, just being a father. Fathering. And like in real time, like just mm-hmm. and seeing what that looks like, and getting the chance for Drew to get a little bit more depth into who I am, and for me to really like see her, not as like this concept of like what I think my daughter is, or what I think my baby is, but like I really got to like see her,
mm-hmm.
Not through your eyes, not through like anybody else's, but just to like, oh, you're foolish. Oh, you're goofy. Like
yeah,
really goofy. Oh, you're dangerous. You are. Reckless as hell. You are.
She's like, I'm so funny. Mommy, I'm funny.
You are very confident. And uh-huh. I'm like, I love that shit. Like, you are like, I'm just able to, like, identify. Every day is something different. Mm-hmm. Even if we doing the same shit every day. Like, you know, she shows me, I start to pick up on certain things. So, like, now I don't have to guess. I was like, oh, you bored right now. Mm-hmm. Or, oh, you hungry right now.
Or sleepy.
Or you just tired right now. Like, it's more so, like, I got to have time to be in tune in the way that you were in tune. You were forced to be, you know, during the first 8-9 months of her mm-hmm. life. And... like, yeah, and I also got to get tired of her.
Yeah.
Like, I got to feel like, I was like,
which
oh,
is like every parent's rite of passage. Like, I think I'm sick of you.
I was like, because I didn't. God bless. I still had the gloss of, like I didn't have that. Mm-hmm. Like, the experience, like, to where I'm, like, tired of this baby yet. Because mm-hmm. by the time I'm able to check in, oh, this is the finally I get time with you. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, it's great. And I'm going to give mommy the time that she needs to, like, recover and recuperate or whatever. But, like, it's daddy time. Mm-hmm. Like, it just, it meant something different now that we have it every single day. I love that we had our walks. I love that we did time with Chalk in the driveway. I love mm-hmm. that, like you know, like there's, I don't know how you can make time like that or create a experience like that.
Yeah, it was beautiful.
Without the world having been shut down. You know, everything was really, really quiet. It was beautiful outside most days. Even on days when it wasn't, like, we played indoor rain games at one point. Mm-hmm. Like, we were trying
to,
like,
Easter inside.
We did do an Easter egg hunt inside. It was just fun. It was fun. I got to have, like, a genuine family time.
Yeah.
Like, all right, yeah, like, we on the clock, or we all just clocked out and we all here. There is no traveling to and fro. There's no, like, we're all right here. Let's do something.
Yeah.
Movie nights, movie times, TV shows, dancing. My baby knows choreography to jump. Crisscross.
Yes. Like, she got a trampoline. We got our trampoline. Yeah.
And then I got to, like, have not just time with her, but time with you with her, like, which was also different. Because mm-hmm. now you get to be a little bit more comfortable with me being a father to our child. Like, mm-hmm. okay, like, you know what he's doing. I'm going to just let you parent.
Yes.
You were saying that for a while. Then you stopped saying it, and now you just walk away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know if
you
got it.
That you do that. You know, you just, nah, fuck it. No, you don't. Like, I'm gone.
Yeah.
You don't even, like, announce your departure. It's adorable. But, yeah, like, just family time.
Yeah.
Family time. Just, like, the importance of what that is and what that looks like. And then remembering how important that was when we were growing up. And then I started thinking about how my mom used to, like, manufacture that type of time. Like, the stuff that she had to do. She had to take off. Like, it had to be spring breaks and stuff like that. And that's how we did road trips. And mm-hmm. that's when we were able to, like, get that stuff in. Like, it just made me think about, like, how to get it in the future. But also, like, just appreciating it now here. Because it may not ever happen like that again. We don't know. The world may shut down again some point in the future.
In our lifetime. But,
like, that was, it was just really nice.
It was.
It was nice. Like, even with her not being home, like, now I'm like,
yeah, I miss my baby.
It's a little too quiet. Like, come interrupt me.
But no, don't.
But don't.
Because we
please
have
stay and
so that when she does get home, we actually have time to like, be parents.
Mm-hmm. We don't have this on here, but do you have, like, a pro or a con for her being daycare now?
Pro and con. I mean, I guess it's similar to, that is, wasn't it, what? Pro and cons of having her home?
We're having her in daycare now.
Oh. Well, a con would be we can't walk in and, like, sit with her. Like, when you first went to daycare, we got to go inside and
meet
walk her
teachers
to her classroom. Sit with her in the morning sometimes when mm-hmm. the teachers, when they were waiting on each other, or if there were a lot of kids at once, we'd sit and we'd help feed the kids, or we'd help. Like, they asked the parents to volunteer. Like, it was really nice to be able to sit with Drew and she played with her blocks and stuff.
Those things were normal at the time.
Yeah, and to feed the babies and watch her get jealous. Like, and be mm-hmm. like, wait.
Be like, my daddy not here.
Right.
And, like, I don't know. Like, there were those times where I would go in early and maybe hang out a little bit before, like, getting stuff in.
So that was, so that's a con. Like, we can't, I don't know what the fuck they're doing. Like, I mean, they gave us this paper with the mm-hmm. sheets and what they're doing and what she ate that day and if she went on the potty.
And we're able to, like, text her teachers and so,
yeah.
Like, stuff
so,
like
we
that,
can do but that, but the con is I can't, like,
it's hands off.
Yes. I can drop her off at the
drastic
door.
Drastic one from the year that we just had, but also from daycare prior to the year that we just had.
Like, they wanted the parents to come in, right? Yeah. Turn your cell phones off, sit with your kids, you know. And
now
I was like, drop them at the door.
Don't touch none.
God bless y'all. See you at 5. And so that's a con. And a pro would be, she seems happy. Drew's been coming home. Crunk. Okay. She's been coming home really
crunk. That
was
that one time because we thought we were doing her a favor.
We picked her up a little early and we
never
did
it. It was my
idea
and I will claim that. I was like, hey, so it's her first day back. Let's give her a half day, you know?
We pick her up 2 hours early. Never again. Never again. What was I saying? The pro is she's, like, very happy. Mm-hmm. Like, there's nothing drastic. You know, that I was expecting her to like have, I don't know what I was expecting. I had catastrophized that she would be miserable.
I was expecting it to be a little difficult.
But she's just transition. Like, bye. You know, but once she gets to the door.
But the first day, she was like, no.
No, like, she was like, let's go walk.
She grabbed me and Randy's hand
she's
and
like,
tried to turn
let's
around.
Go.
I'm like, girl, if you don't.
But once she gets in there, she's like, good. And then she's happy to always see us. And she seems okay. And she's functioning. And they're not sending home any crazy reports.
She's coming back home with less boogers, which means that the space is cleaner.
Right. She's not like sneezing and coughing. Mm-hmm. We did get her the flu shot, though. We just had to. We just did it.
Yeah.
Because I was like, we'll go get her a flu shot. But other than
she does have new phrases.
Yeah. So that's a pro. How about you? Yeah. Con and pro.
Con is, I don't want to say the exact same thing, but yeah, like just not being as connected in that way as before, because I enjoyed those times where I could go in and like do stuff. Like, I want to be that dad.
Mm-hmm.
Like, everybody knows that's true, that like I'm around.
Mm-hmm.
And I am somebody that you can like count on to be present.
And to be watching y'all.
Yes. And like, and she liked it.
Uh-huh.
And she would just keep bringing me things. I mean, like, this is a thing that I play with when you're not here. Like, stuff like that. One of the cons is just that I feel a little bit of a disconnect already.
Really? Again.
Just a little bit. Like, it was for, you gotta understand, like, you know, something becomes a habit after what, 3 months? What's the?
21 days. Oh, 3 weeks.
3 weeks. 3 weeks.
A month. Yeah.
And like, it was my habit. It was my habit to expect certain things at certain parts of the day. So my energy was prepared for it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, all right, she's going to sleep till 10:30 maybe.
Maybe.
So you got about an hour real quick, cook breakfast fast, try to get some energy in, take some deep breaths, go outside, walk group, get some air.
Mm-hmm.
Could, you know, log in, prepare for Zoom and everything else in this baby. Like, just have all that stuff together. And now, like, she was already dropped off the daycare 3 hours ago, and like her day has started. She like, she's eating breakfast. She's playing with her friends. She's like, she's not thinking about me like at all. She's very much wrapped up in her world. But like, I was her world for a year. You know,
you
like
still are,
was,
Mike.
I'm not saying that I'm not. It's just,
I know.
It's just different. It's just different. Like, I don't feel like my family is disconnected, but I do feel like there's
actual
like space.
I feel like she's aware. Which I told you, I feel like she's aware that she that we don't know things. What's going on?
Mm-hmm.
She'd be looking at us like, I bet y'all wonder what I did today. But I ain't saying shit. You know, like, she do this babbling that we don't understand. Like, I feel like she knows, oh, yeah, y'all don't know what I did today. So we just gonna keep acting like.
Yes. Like, for instance, you know? She walked up to you and she, like, she hit you on your leg. And, like, you thought she was hitting you. But I saw, like, her face. She did like this and, like
oh, she's
about
to run.
Like, I feel like they've been playing tag. And, like, because I've also heard her say, like, let's go. Like, let's go, guys. Or, come on, guys. Like, she's been
hey
saying,
guys.
Like, stuff like that. I was like,
hey, guys.
I was like, y'all been playing tag. You have this new secret life with these friends of yours.
Right.
And, like, you was just trying it on your mother. But we didn't react properly. Like, we don't know what you're doing. We just talking about.
When we see her today, when we get her, I'm going to go touch her and run.
And see?
Uh-huh.
And she's going to be like, that's not it, Mom. Like,
I'm going to be like, I want to hit her like she be hitting me.
That's it. So that's the con to me. Yeah. There seems to be, there's another shift. And I have to get used to this new way.
Yeah.
Right?
Just.
But the pro is I can think straight.
Yeah. It's calmer.
It's there was so much traffic in my head that I couldn't get a lot of stuff done. I was falling short on projects that I'm working on. I felt like every day is something at work and I got to tell them, hey, I need a little bit more time here. Like, I already don't like doing stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Which is like another personal thing, right? I don't feel like a burden to nobody trying to tell them about stuff I got going on, even though my job has been very like forgiving and understanding, like, hey,
it's a pandemic
and everybody gets it. But at a certain point, I felt like people were going to get tired of it's a pandemic. And like, I don't know, because I'm tired of the fact that it's a pandemic and I got to keep doing these things. But we were having a conversation the other day and you were telling me, you were like, hey, you look really like contemplative. And I was like, I think it's because for the first time in a while, I realized that I can think. I was like, oh, I'm able to like form thoughts uninterrupted by somebody else real quick, like by screaming, by playing, by a sound dropping. Like, when you're like, as a parent, you have to be on high alert all the time.
Mm-hmm. Especially when they get mobile.
And it don't have to always look like you're on high alert. But there's the thing, like when you're in tune, just like, you know, if it's quiet for too long, she's doing something she ain't supposed to be.
Yeah.
Or, like, if you start hearing certain scraping, she's standing on top of something she ain't supposed to be standing on. Like,
or if it's
like,
too quiet.
If it's too quiet, then Drew's
doing
something.
She's just doing something.
She's doing something that she's not supposed to be doing. And she know it. And all you gotta do is look at her and she'll drop it and run over to you and, like, request a hug.
Hug. Let's forget everything. Hug.
So, like, it's, so I can think.
Mm-hmm.
I can think now. I am able to, I'm, like, slowly but surely getting back to, like, work. we're working on our podcast. Like, mm-hmm. we had, like, there are things that need to be done, and, like, now I can, like, do it. But then when I woke up from that same fog, I was like, how the fuck were we able to do any of this
God.
With her home?
And we did have help, right? Like, my mom still takes her every other weekend. Mikey's mom would take her.
My sister would take her. Yeah. And that would allow us, like, you know, 3 hour break, whatever, like a nap, a shower, you know, mm-hmm. things like that. But, like, I don't know. It feels like we're getting back to some form of normalcy. But for a while, normal was last year, you know, like that was
it.
She spent more time in here with us than she has out in the world. Mm-hmm. Her life so far, the first six, eight, you know, she was home for the first 8 months of her life.
I didn't let Drew go nowhere in the beginning. Like, go where? where are we taking a baby? Where? I didn't let her go nowhere.
It was very, very difficult to even let go. So, yeah, to now be in that space where we're getting back to what we were just now starting to get used to mm-hmm. the first time around is weird. But, like, yeah, no, I can think straight. I'm able to do more in service to you. And mm-hmm. myself, which is helpful.
And vice versa. Like, I do yoga in the mornings now. And I meditate. Okay. Then I'll get to work. You know, yes. I have my meetings and, yeah.
You see the way you roll your eyes at me?
I will when we play it back. okay, so, it's your turn. It's your lead.
No. So, in what ways has Drew's returned helped us take our shit back?
Yeah, so what does this have to do with our theme? So, taking our shit back means... I mean, a few things, right? It means getting out from behind the camera, showing our face, not playing dead, being brave, all these things. And so for me, Drew's return back to daycare has helped me take my shit back in the way of, like, I hadn't realized how much my fear and not knowing affects everything I do, right? Like, and how it can also be projected on Drew. Like, I don't want Drew to feel like she can't do it. Drew is her own person. She got her own destiny, her mm-hmm. own path. She covered in a whole different way than I am, mm-hmm. you know? And as the year went on and her teachers still were in contact with us, they're still texting us, letting us know what's going on in the school, what's going on with them.
Are we snitching on?
No, like, I already told their boss, like, they stayed in touch. They were her teachers, you know, because, you know, for a time, they were doing virtual stuff when the school was closed in general. So
that was like work on work, which was defeated
they
the purpose.
They FaceTime her. Like, they were still really engaged. And I mm-hmm. remember, you know, and now that the vaccination, there are a few that are available. But I remember thinking right around the time we were like, okay, we're going to put her back. It's like, I keep saying we need help. Yeah. I keep saying we need so-and-so. And I know that part of taking our shit back for me is stop playing the victim. So acting like you don't have resources at mm-hmm. your capacity. And there is a whole ass daycare that will take her back, put her with the same teachers, the same students that she mm-hmm. had her first time around. If I took a leap of faith, right? If I mm-hmm. trusted that.
And pay a little bit more.
She would be well. We are paying a little bit more because we're making a little bit more. More money, more problems. Okay? Mikey, we got a deal.
Okay.
You just say thank you.
Thank you.
You're such an asshole.
I'm just saying.
No, so for me, it's like, and I don't want Drew to feel like I said, that she can't do it. Like, I feel like she can go to school and, you know, rejoin, so be socialized, talk to her friends, maybe make friends, you know, however mm-hmm. toddlers do that.
Saw some new kids.
Right, they're new kids. Kids who got older, obviously, over the year.
Still smaller than my baby.
And it's also given me the space to, like, now that Drew is back in school, there's less time for me to make excuses about what I can't do
mm-hmm.
for myself. Not in terms of working things. Like, oh, I can't possibly take time to do yoga or to meditate or to, like, drink some water.
You did that while she was
right.
here.
And so I realized that I was also kind of mm-hmm. using Drew being out of school as a crutch. And to be fair, in the beginning, we didn't know what the hell. Like, we mm-hmm. didn't know what the, we were just trying
there
to,
was
like...
There no timeline. A lot was in the air.
We were trying to figure it out. We were trying to understand what it was like to now have a toddler who, like, talks back and, like, has her own, like, wants autonomy and all these things. Mm-hmm. And so, for me, putting her back in school is helping me, like, not give my fear so much voice, right? We're being very cautious. The school is being very cautious. There are lots of people who had to keep their kids in daycare because they just couldn't. And their babies are fine.
Mm-hmm.
So it's allowing me to let her be her own self, take care, you know, trust her body, trust her immune system, trust that she's covered, and to also take my shit back in terms of not using having her home or not having any help as an excuse. So now I can like take care of myself and like parent myself in this time and get some work done. Cause I also like to work and it's really nice to work without this added guilt of knowing that I'm ignoring my baby or like I'm trying to distract her.
Yeah.
You know, so how about you?
No, come to same point. There were a lot of mental blocks. Mine were manifesting in, you know, in a more physical way, obviously with the weight gain, with the constant like pain that my body was in, things like that. But during the pandemic for the last year, especially, I've been doing a lot of work to get my mind right to where I'm taking care of myself in a different way, in a real way. And for a while, I thought that it was because Drew is constantly home and because, you know, I got to like continue to give myself to my marriage in a certain way, or I got to parent a certain way that I'm not able to really take care of myself in a certain way. And it turned out that was bullshit because I was able to do that with her being home, with you being home and with me working and with everything else. I lost mad weight. I eat a lot better. I've reestablished a healthy, healthy. What am I trying to say?
I don't know.
Behaviors.
Okay.
Right. So like, whether that's, you know, stretching more than I have in a long time, like since like college, like let that be a normal part of my day. Eating breakfast consistently, eating lunch consistently, I eat at the same time every day, like, and switching it up. Like I've been posting my food on Instagram. It's kind of like a way to like, you've been making fun of me talking about like influencers
in the wild.
But I really get good pictures of my really pretty looking food. Like I'm actually like, I'm big. Like I watched a lot of, you know, the show where they give you all the random ingredients in the basket. Like, I watched it. You know, plating is a large part of of the process. But, yeah, like, taking pride in what I'm eating again. Making sure that I'm consistently eating again. I got people checking in on me. My brother, my friends from college. Like, people have, like, been helping in that way. And it's been showing me a lot of the error in my ways. And so, in me taking my shit back, I've just realized, like, I've been able to do a lot with very little. Again, still not really sure how we were able to do much of what we did during that
time.
We did
a lot.
A lot and like not implode, which I'm always, I guess, surprised by when we are able to like make it through a very rough season. But I start in the gym next week. Next week, Monday, is going to be my first day back in the gym. And I'm just kind of like, I'm able to do that because she's off living the life that she's supposed to be living, which has now freed up the time for me to be like that early gym worm dude to get like my muscle back, get my strength back up because I need that. I'm going to need that. Like, I've done a lot of melting. Like, I melted fat off. I got to build my muscle back up. I get my body back together. Like, I just got, you know, like, just my posture is getting a little bit better here and there. So, like, it's just really helped me, like, realize, like, how much I need to take care of myself better in order to, like, really be here for our family, for you, for her, and for myself. And these things are only possible because I can think straight because she gone.
Right. That's it. Thanks, babe.
You're welcome. Also, it helps me with loving on you.
Does it?
I feel like you've enjoyed our physical activities.
Yeah. What's one thing we say to parents who are still on the fence about letting their kids fly, especially the toddlers and the people who have daycare as
our title
resource.
Episode. We haven't talked about why that's the title of this episode.
We haven't even said the title. We don't ever say it until we post it.
Oh, okay. That's fair. But you mentioned letting our kids fly. So, before we get into that question, Randy came in the room one day after hearing Drew screaming and choking and coughing, and she was confused as to what was going on. I was making Drew fly. I was basically I was tossing my daughter very high in the air.
Throwing her on the bed.
Towards our bed, which has like a very cushiony duvet, like one of the hotel duvets, really thick. It's like with goose feathers, and she'll like land in it and stick. And we just randomly started doing it. I was like, you want to fly?
Like,
and
she looked at me and said, fly. She sounds like the birds from Finding Nemo.
Yes.
What do they say?
Mine.
She fly. So mommy,
she'll
fly,
just
fly.
Keep repeating fly, but she keeps forgetting to breathe. And so she likes to, and she loved
it. And she gets really high and it stresses me out.
She does. But at the end of the day, she's fine and she's alive and she enjoys
it. So now I fly her.
Yes.
And what she started doing is she'll close her eyes. This girl is so interesting. She'll be like, fly. Like, you open your eyes and she's just like, one.
She'll like count down with you.
Two. It's so cute. But yeah, so what's one thing we say to parents who are still on the fence?
Still on the fence about letting their kids fly. You will go. You had to go first.
Oh, okay. Trust your kids, man. You know, trust your kids. And I say this to myself first.
Yeah.
Okay, always. Trust your kids and trust the people around your kids. So I don't think that I could have let Drew go back to any old daycare. It had to have, would have had to been this one. We got really close to the teachers. We have their numbers. I think they've proven themselves over the year that she was out about how much they care about her. She seems to thrive in their community and in their area. And when they give her to us, she'll hug them. You know, like, she seems okay. And I have to trust that, like, Drew will tell you if she's not okay. All right? This girl.
Which we know after a year being
God, she can enunciate, okay? She is going to proclaim, and she will let you know when you fucking up, okay? Mm-hmm. And then when she needs some help. And so I really think that it's okay to trust our kids. I think that, and maybe it's not even a trust issues with our kids, but it's also okay to trust ourselves. So I would also say, trust yourself. Like, I was like, we need help. I need help. I want to put her back in daycare, but I just kept stopping myself. Like, it's not smart. We don't watch people for a year do dumb shit, you know, and it enrages us because there are people who are benefiting from the world getting a little bit more well, who didn't act right the whole time, mm-hmm. you know, who didn't risk anything, who didn't lose anything or lose anyone, or who didn't try to be better, who didn't do any self-work, who didn't, like, do anything. Like, it makes me so frustrated because I didn't want to do none of that either. You know, like, I wanted to be outside, but I got stuff to lose, you know, and people I love and elders I want to see and elders I want to keep around.
Yeah.
But, you know, so okay. I was so mad. No, okay. But I was like, and so I started to feel like one of those people who just tired, because we all fucking tired, mm-hmm. you know, tired of being inside. And I was like, no, Randy, this is not just fatigue about having your baby home. You have a knowing. There's a knowing that you know that it's time. Drew is two. There are things that she needs. She's so smart. Like, she's so smart.
And there are things that we were just and not we just able
can't.
To, like,
I'm not
do.
Equipped or trained to do it. You know, I can parent, but there's a reason why teachers exist and daycare exists. And the effect it was having on her, you know, like, I think over time, another year like this would have just, I don't know, but she wouldn't have been well.
Yeah.
Like, you know, yeah. I just don't know. And so I was like, I have to trust myself, and I have to trust God, and I have to trust my spirits, and, like, I have to trust, like, it's gonna, I have to trust you, you know, like, we were in a core, we were in sync with, like, yes, time. And so I would just say, trust yourself, trust your babies, trust yourself that it, if you feel like it's time, it probably is. And you can always, I realize, like, this is not permanent. They're not going to keep her. We can always take her out or pick her up early. Will we do that again? Probably not. Unless they tell us to go get her.
No, probably not. But we will not.
We can always, like, it's not forever, you know?
Yes.
If it's getting to be too much and we just miss her too much and we just, you know, just take her back out. So, yeah. That's what I would say. How about you?
Took everything. No, I mean, we're in alignment with this one. It, everything at this point is just, like, it's all calculated risk, right? You have to do what you're comfortable with. You have to do what makes sense to you. A lot of people have been doing stuff that they were comfortable with from the beginning anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But as time has passed, thank you.
Yeah.
And we're getting a little bit more facts. We're kind of just seeing how the world works. Y'all, we live in Atlanta. Atlanta never closed.
It's been open.
Atlanta been open this entire time. And the numbers have been doing the things the numbers do. We ignored it. We watched it. We, you know, we did what we had to do to take care of ourselves. And even in returning her to daycare, we're still doing those things.
Mm-hmm.
She comes back. She gets cleaned. It's a afternoon bath time immediately.
Yeah.
Then it's additional playtime. Then we're inside. Then we're winding down for a bit. Like, there's order again. We still wear masks when we go out. We still clean off things. Like, you still have your common sense about you, but what I would say to any parent who's, like, still on the fence is, you know, really look at your situation. Think about how it'll help. Think about how it'll hurt. The determining factor for me was, what does Drew need?
Mm-hmm.
And she needed other kids. Like, she needed other kids badly. Like, the final point that you made was, like, there are teachers who are paid to and trained to and get educated in these things because they are equipped to do these things for your child.
Mm-hmm.
And we've both taught for a period of time. Me with every grade level, so, like, it's not
high schoolers.
It's not that it's, like, it's impossible to do, but pair that with also having to work all the day, and then there being no break from each other, and other stressors, financial, have we had sex at all ever? Like, are we at the end of the day, I think she needs to be in a space where she was going to learn things the kids need to learn. Like, I know my baby need more practice with a fork.
Yeah, I know.
But we so tired.
I don't even know.
Use your hands.
I'd be like, girl. just
whatever you got to do. Get the peaches in your mouth. You do that. And like, that's ain't no fine. Judgment. So tomorrow, if there's time before daddy has to clock in or before mommy has to clock out, if there's no meeting at that time, then maybe we'll help you with the fork. You see what I'm saying? Like, it's just not, it's doing her a disservice. Like, she needed that consistency as well. She needed that order. In order for her to be great. Mm-hmm. And that's why I'm able to be straight. So, like, at the end of the day, if you're looking at your child and you're just wondering, hey, is this for their betterment? Then there's your answer.
Yeah. So there is your answer. Okay. These kids will let you know. What did Crush say? When he knows? I don't know. About the turtle?
I love you.
Right. All I have in my spirit is Disney movies because that's what we've been watching for.
Who said Crush?
From Finding Nemo, his name was Crush.
Yes.
The father turtle?
The turtle that was 150.
Yes. When he knows, you'll know.
You know? I love you. And all of your Disney references.
I have so many. Y'all just get ready. Just buckle in. Engagement. Are your kids back in school and daycare?
Mm-hmm. How are you feeling about the general return of kids to school? It was a really big thing in Atlanta. I asked my teacher friends. I'm worried. They have like a hybrid system set up now.
Yeah.
Some kids are there 2 days. Some kids are there 3 days. And they switch like A and B schedule to lessen the amount of kids there. There's been a new rule that lowers the distance between them now. So instead of 10 feet, it's 6 or 3 or something like that. Like, we're trying to get back to, this country is trying to get back to
something.
What things used to be.
I don't think that's ever going to happen, but I don't either, but. Makes sense. Yeah.
World is forever changed.
So shoot us an email, y'all, at blackmailmirror@gmail.com or leave us a voicemail at 770-750-4098 or hit us up on social media with your thoughts on this episode.
It's time for Randy and Mike's Fight or Flight. They've held it in all week, but you gon' hear it tonight. Don't really matter who is wrong or right, cause it's fight or flight.
Fight or flight, babe. What is it? Is your beef?
So you know how normally I never have anything to complain about because you're like the perfect wife and the perfect friend. It's just that I've noticed that when it comes to certain things, you will. It's rare, but when you put on your lazy hat or your I don't want to do this for you hat. The things that you do to get out of things.
What do I do?
It's very creative. It's very creative, right? All right, so, for instance, very recently, we were talking and we had a conversation about, I've had my twist in for a while. I'm going to untwist them, have my hair doing my little twist out because, I like my twist out. After this, I'm going to wash it and I need you to braid my hair. You remember having that conversation about
braiding my hair? And I remember being like, yeah, I'll do it on Friday.
Yeah. And so you said you needed some time. And I was like, oh, completely understandable. So, I'll wear my afro until then. And I'll take the time to, just wear my hair out so that, when you're ready, my hair will be ready. It'll be moisturized and I'll be good to go. This was days ago. You decided, before the time came where you were supposed to do my hair, to just be like, you know what? You look really handsome today. Let me finish. You said you look really handsome. Has anybody ever told you that your afro looks godlike? I was reading the Bible and the story of Samson. Said. You were like, you remind me of how strong he was because he let his hair just flow.
Mikey.
And nobody had to braid his hair at all. You know what? I don't think that I need to braid your hair because you should just have it just like that for the podcast, for the recording. Now, mind you, I've been watching Snowfall. I've been able to catch up. Love the show. Better than The Wire.
No, it's not.
You haven't seen an episode.
You can't finish. You haven't finished The Wire.
Exactly. That's how bad
it was.
So
you can't, Mikey.
Season 2 is horrible. Mikey, I will finish The Wire at some point.
If you watched the third season, you would understand season 2.
I think I started season 3 and it just wasn't good either.
Mikey, that's not, no.
Was that the one where they created a neighborhood and just like, we'll just let them all sell drugs on this side of town and just let it be? Was that season 3? So I did watch season 3.
But you didn't finish it.
Because after a while, I'm like, these things are breaking. Right, anyway, we're getting off topic here.
And then they got the same actors from The Wire. So it is The Wire.
It's not The Wire. It's The Wire. It's a completely different storyline.
It's The Wire.
They can have the same actors and it'd be something completely different.
Mikey, you can't say that something is better until you finished it.
Got you. Okay, so I'll finish it and so I'll come back with this take. So your argument is... So my argument is, why don't you love me?
Mikey. Where,
there used to be a certain level of respect. You know what? You would at least look me in my eyes and be like, you know what? I just don't want to do it today. And I'd be like, you know what, babe? That's fair.
And you know what?
Let me know what day works for you and Mikey. We'll do that. Instead, you know what you did?
No.
You know what you did. You Mikey. Made me feel so good about Mikey. My hair.
Because your afro is wonderful. And also, when I said it out loud, the first thought in my mind was, he's going to think I'm trying to play him. But I was like, no. No, I trust my husband to take this compliment.
I saved this for the fight or flight.
For what
I did take
is.
It for a compliment. I believe two things can be true. I believe that you thought my afro looked good in that moment, and you saw a real good way to not have to do no work
you,
on my head.
I just did your daughter's hair. I still got to do my hair.
You did, and I be trying to get breaks in between. Like, you know, like just
y'all
just
got a head of full of hair.
This is true.
Why don't you just lock your hair?
We're in the middle of a pandemic, and I would get somebody else to do it. But you know what? I like the intimacy of being between your legs.
On my arms because you're too tall.
Or that. And just having you braid my hair while Mario is playing in the background.
Mikey, Mario is never playing in the background.
It is in my head.
In your head.
Yes.
But I'm not privy to be.
Well, now you are.
Your head. Okay. So what do you want me to do? Because that was a genuine compliment. Did I get out of having to braid your hair? Yes. But...
I just wanted you to admit to that. So your goal was to get out of it.
No. The compliment was sincere.
Okay. And
yeah, I love your afro.
I love you. That's all. I just want to let you know that, you know, I felt the way. I felt the way. I was like, you know what?
Well,
she just don't want to touch
I
me.
I won't compliment you anymore.
Me? That's not what I'm saying.
About your hair. But I don't want to mess up your afro. I know how it.
I love you.
I love you.
My fight is I just want to be respected.
Mikey, I
just
want you to be honest.
I want you to be honest. I know that you did mean the compliment, but it's also okay. Instead of me having to pull it out you and be like, hey, babe, are you too tired for this? It's okay.
I've been very upfront with you about
that. You've been very upfront about your level of tiredness, but you also
my
you also was like, hey, we'll do it on this day.
Yes, if but that you remember Friday didn't happen like, the way, yes. Like, we got home way later. You remember
when
we got home?
Even with all of that, on my lunch break, I still was like, I'm going to wash my hair and be prepared. You know, like, all of those things. So, like, I'm still thinking until I find out otherwise. And I'll pull when I find out myself, but it's okay to tell me, hey.
I'll do your hair tonight.
Okay.
I would do your hair tonight.
Thank you.
PDA. PDA.
PDA. You first.
So, my PDA. I recently attended a festival. A movie festival.
You can,
because
you
of
talk,
my producer role. Yeah, because of my producer role at the Color Grade. And I got...
festival.
Oh, South by Southwest. Yeah, South by Southwest.
Which I always thought was a movie festival.
It's a music festival, but they also do movies.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they do both. And we watched the film last night, even though we started too late and we only got to watch.
Only Randy watched it. I may have walked in the room at one point in case there's any legal repercussions to
you. No, they expect you to watch the people you live with.
Okay, cool.
We live together.
But see, I got you, though, just in case.
Yes, thank you. One of the movies was a movie called Violet. Anyway, I can't wait for it to come out. Like, I want people to see it, and I'm probably going to do my own indie about this film and the effect it had on me. But it had a very jarring effect on me.
Mm.
And you were just very sweet about it. It was a really good movie. Nothing like, you know, gory or sad or anything like that. It was just, the premise is this woman realizes this guiding voice in her head has been lying to her all along. And the voice is really mean. Like, the voice is, like, really mean, and it's like, it's just, I can't, like, people who have a voice in their head knows what I'm talking about. Like,
what is the concept of it? It's not self-loathing. It's
like anxiety. It's like every time she does something.
Beating you up.
Yeah, it's
like a self-defeating voice.
Yes. And it was just so powerful. And I don't know how it ended with her. And I, like, reached out to the director and I was like, you don't know me, but.
There's a time slot on the movie. And so Randy was said, like, it expires at 2:30 or something like that.
2:59. And I was like 2:59 tonight or 2:59 tomorrow?
I was like, it would be 2:59 tomorrow. I was like, but maybe as long as you press play before that time, then you'd be good.
Keep going.
But nah, as soon as that bitch hit 3 o'clock.
Yes, it said, you done. And so I was like, huh? And I was a wreck. Like, it was really jarring and very relatable.
I think you needed the ending.
Yeah.
Whatever it was. I think you needed
it. I'm going to figure it out. But hopefully they put it, hopefully one of these streaming services picks it up.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was wonderful from what we did get to see. But anyway, you were just very sweet to me. And I really appreciate you not, like, treating me like I was an eyelash.
It's a little eyeball. Good.
Not treating me like I was super weird about the the impact of that movie. Like, I was like, I resonate way too much to this.
Yeah, as a black man, ain't really, as somebody who does not think that way or operate that way, like, it didn't. It was, for a minute, I was like, yo, this is boring. Like, I was like, nah, this chick wilding. This is ridiculous. Uh-huh. No one does this. And then I immediately thought outside of myself, which everyone should do at a certain point, like, mm-hmm. this, not only could something like this affect my child, but I know someone who this directly affects. Yeah. I'm like laying next to her. So I'm like, actually, no, let me pay attention. Cause,
like, I couldn't even speak. Yeah. I was watching the movie like, oh my God. It's such
a. And then, like, after the first 5 minutes, I was like, oh shit, that's Randy. Oh shit, that's Randy. Damn, that's
Randy. It was good. And so thank you, Mike, for watching it with me, mm-hmm. For what we could watch, and it was really late because we worked really late last night.
It was up to like 4.
We were up late. And because we took this middle of the night nap, we took this like 5 p.m. nap because the baby's with mama. And anyway, but thank you. I really appreciate you. You're a really good friend. Like, you're a great husband, but you're a really, really good friend. I really appreciate you.
That's a very high compliment.
Thank you.
I appreciate it.
Thank you. How about you? What?
Nothing. Because my PDA isn't really about me. It's about you. So, Christmas 2020.
Uh-huh.
I gifted Randy with some Ivy Park.
Some drip.
Because my wife is one of... It's not the biggest fan of Beyonce.
I love Beyonce.
But I feel like she would still have her shit together if she met Beyonce. Like, she wouldn't be one of those people that, like, broke down, cried, or started pulling at Beyonce's hair.
I keep telling myself not to be.
I think that you would be controlled. So if Beyonce ever sees this, it's okay. It's safe to meet this one. It's coming from her husband. I genuinely mean that.
Thank you.
But I bought you, like, one of the things that I got you was these, the blue shoes.
One of the blue shoes.
From the second release.
Uh-huh.
And for a while, you were trying to figure out when you could wear them. And you were, like, looking at me, looking at you, trying to figure out when you were going to wear them.
Because you know how he is.
I come from a long line of people who coordinate their outfits in a certain way. Like, some stuff just got to have an accent. Shit got to match a little bit in order for you to, like, pull your outfit off. I don't believe that you can wear gold and red with some yellow. But, like, that's not true. I could probably pull that off.
What is your point?
My point is, you broke out your shoes today.
I did.
And you ain't ask no questions.
I didn't.
You ain't ask if anything was, like, working with someone or not working. You know, you put your shoes on and you went out the house. And it wasn't raining. So, you know, I wouldn't be mad. You weren't about to walk in no puddle with them. Like, you followed the basic steps for shoe care by wearing them on a day when it was dry and bright. And so people could see.
And I had on my
you
blue
and your stuff. Yes, and you
shirt.
Did.
Sure. It was
did.
Under my coat. But
didn't matter.
I knew that I was
very, very proud of you.
Thank
and you looked happy to be outside skipping around in your new shoes.
They're very comfortable. I mean, the whole
I
line.
Like, you do good things for yourself.
Thank you.
I do. Even if it's something small. I know that you wanted to. And I'm glad that you did it without asking further questions or checking in to see how someone else felt about it.
Yeah.
Because it genuinely doesn't fucking matter.
It does not. I say this to myself first. Over and over and over again.
You look cute.
Thank you, Mike.
You're welcome.
And thank you for the shoes. They are super comfortable.
They're very comfortable.
Can't wait to break out those neon ones. Oh, my God. Y'all going to be mad at me. Wait till I get this shot. Y'all don't want to talk to me. Y'all going to be mad at me.
Shots. Right. You got to get multiple. Are you ready for that?
Yes.
Shoot me, nigga. All right, yeah. Okay.
I am. We did what we were supposed to do.
We did. And now we should go party. Y'all going to see the Chapmans in the club more than we ever been in the club.
Listen.
Who trying to club? Hit us up at 770-750-4098 if you're trying to go out.
Thank y'all so much for listening. The Black Millennial Marriage Podcast is co-hosted,
co-produced,
co-created,
co-everything
by Mikey and Randy Chapman.
So if you like what you hear and see,
support the show and our work on Patreon at patreon.com/blackmillennialmarriage.
That's right. The Black Millennial Marriage Podcast is on Domino Sounds Network.
Woo woo! New episodes. Once a week.
That's all y'all get.
The Black Millennial Marriage Podcast Fight or Flight Jingle was created by Ebony Janae at Janae's Jingles.
Details in our show notes.
We are available on YouTube,
mm-hmm.
iTunes,
mm-hmm.
Spotify,
yep.
Stitcher,
mm-hmm.
Google Podcasts, and mm-hmm. all other major streaming services. Rate us
5 stars.
And subscribe if you enjoyed this episode.
Yes, click the link in the bottom. Do the bell for the notifications and all the other stuff that people say on YouTube videos. We'll get better at this as we go along.
Be sure to check out our website, www.blackmillennialmarriage.com, and follow us on social media platforms. On Instagram, we are
Black Millennial Marriage.
On Facebook, we are
Black Millennial Marriage Podcast.
And on Twitter, we are
@_TheChapmans.
As always, y'all,
be blessed.
Don't settle.
Fight clean.
Peace.
Peace.